Alright, welcome everyone. We're about to kick off. We're going to be conducting today, for your very eyes, a competition in golf, around the golf you might say, that will also be formally verified. So we'll be writing smart contracts in whatever language you prefer, and you'll submit your contract to our CI server, which will run a suite of formal verification proofs against that bytecode. And if you do manage to pass our specs, so you have a provably correct contract, then there's a competition for making the most gas-efficient such contract. And in particular, we'll be doing it today with an ERC-20, since this is the one with the most straightforward specification. Of course, there's some caveats on what the specification actually looks like, and we've made a little bit of an opinionated choice here, but we'll go over that in due time. So, when I said that we'll be doing a competition, I actually meant we'll be doing two competitions at the same time. Namely, there's this EVM golf competition that I just described, making the most provably correct ERC-20 implementation. But there's actually a second contest going on behind the scenes, and if you're feeling like the first one might not be too much of a challenge for you, or if you're thinking that formal verification is just a sham, then you can participate in the second competition, which asks you to submit bytecode that has some sort of bug in it, but it still passes the specs somehow. If you believe that the specs and the methods that we have created with the formal verification process that has been set up, then you can try to fool it, and you can try to submit bytecode that passes those specs, but are otherwise faulty in some way. I mean, it's hard to define when there's no longer a spec to talk about, but I'm sure we'll be able to figure something out. So, you'll be able to compete in both of these competitions, and we'll get to the details soon enough. First, I'm not going to be talking too much about the theory behind what we're doing today, because we need to have time to actually do some hacking. But let me just mention that the proving methods that we're using here for this workshop are going to be using the K framework. And we'll be writing our specs and looking at our specs written in the ACT smart contract specification language. We'll get into it later. Okay, so let's get deeper into the specification. I'll come over to the other side of the table. So sometimes people say that an ERC-20, the ERC-20 specification, as if it is some sort of specification. It's really not. It's more of an interface that really just tells you what the methods should look like in your contract, and doesn't actually say anything about the behavior, of course. I mean, we have some intuition around what this should be, but there's actually a whole range of different kinds of behavior of different ERC-20 tokens, and it gets kind of annoying when you start dealing with them, and then you have to check whether this particular ERC-20 actually did return a boolean at the end of its transfer function, or what's happening in the case where you're sending to the zero address and stuff like this. So in order to actually have a specification, we need to make a choice on all these decisions. And let me present our choices, but before I do that, I'm going to show you the language in which we're presenting these choices. So this is our specification format that we have developed in order to be a literate language that should intuitively make sense, uses, you know, common mathematical words. And we have created it in such a way that from a small specification like this, we should be able to generate a suite of reachability claims. So proof obligations, essentially, that you can port to right now only K, but there are more backends that we're planning. And so let me show you how this works. We have, on the left-hand side, we have the specification in the ACT language, and on the right-hand side, we have a simple function, a simple transfer function in the contract. So what we do is, well, actually, let me go back and just say, the main claim of the specification is in this storage header. So under the storage header, we're saying how the balances of the people involved are being updated. So we're saying that whatever their initial balances were, from valor to valor, they're going to be updated with a corresponding value as a result of calling the transfer function. Okay, but this doesn't always happen, because there are some scenarios where you do call the transfer function and your balances aren't updated, namely if you don't have enough money to send, or if there is an overflow when you're trying to add the value to the receiver. And so this should be reflected in the spec. And here it is. We see that there are actually four conditions associated with this particular act. And the first three are associated with an if and only if header, or this IFF. And that means that in the two specs that are going to be generated, or the two reachability claims, or two proof obligations that are going to be generated from this act, we are going to assume all of the conditions in the if and only if header to be true in the pass case and to be false in the fail case. So what the nature of that claim is that it amounts to saying that only if in the case where we are still within the range of a UIN256 bit word, then these storage updates should be performed. And when any of these conditions are not met, then we should be in the fail case, and the fail case asserts that everything must revert. No storage updates are to be performed. But there's another type of condition that we can make in an act, and that's the if header. And the if header, the conditions in the if header are assumed in both the fail and the pass cases. So obviously this restricts the nature of your claim. It makes it slightly weaker by assuming additional assumptions. And so if you have an if header like this, you must have a corresponding next spec that assumes the negation of that if header. So in this particular spec, we're saying that the caller ID should be different from the two, meaning that the sender should be different from the receiver, because we have to treat this case somewhat differently. I mean, we actually then would only be referring to a single entry in the storage rather than two separate ones. So we need to write that spec a little bit differently. And so then during the course of this competition, we'll be making, we have a suite of these specs that we'll go over soon enough. And they will generate these proof obligations, and your bytecode will be associated with that proof obligation, and the proof will be run on our CI machine. And after they have been run, if all of your specs are passing, if all of the proof obligations have been proven, then there we will be taking the execution traces. So the method by which we're proving things is through a symbolic execution, and that gives you a complete exploration of the possible things that could happen through the execution of this method. And through this execution trace, we're able to walk down all of the branches and look at the final result in the gas. The final gas result, so the final gas consumed by this method in each branch. And when we do this gas extraction, we take the maximum values of the worst case scenario calling this function. And this is going to be your value that you're competing with. So we get a symbolic expression like this. If you know your EVM, then you know that whenever you do a storage update, what actually determines the cost of that has to do with whether the storage that you're updating was zero or whether you're putting it to zero. And so we'll see conditions on this form when they are the most general, but of course you can take the worst case scenario of this, and this is what we'll be using. Okay, so with that, let me just say how this will all go down. As I said, all proofs will be running on our service. You don't actually need to do much yourself. Of course, if you're interested, you can come and chat to us and we can talk about it. But for the purposes of this competition, the only thing that you need to do is to write an implementation, get the bytecode of that implementation, the runtime bytecode, and make a PR to a repo that we'll be showing you soon. And everything that is provably correct will be analyzed for gas. Okay, so I think it's time to go over the specs. They can be found at this repo, which is the repo we'll be working with. It's github.com/applet/erc20-golf. There's, as I mentioned, there were some opinionated choices we made while making this spec. Well, the first one, or the most important ones are listed on this page, will not be caring about logs, so you can forget about logs for your implementation for the purposes of this contest. Everything must revert if call value is greater than zero, so this is following the convention of both Viper and Solidity. Well, this is actually true with a minor caveat. The storage location, so if you know the way that the EVM deals with the storage under the hood is a simple key value mapping of integers to integers. And so in order to translate the variables that are being used in ERC20, like balances and total supply and allowances, you need to place these at a particular location of these integer to integer mapping in the UVM. And there's a convention for how you do this, and the most crucial thing to know here is how do you make sure that you need to encode basically the balances and the allowances mappings in a particular way. And this is a particular hashing scheme that Solidity uses in order to make sure that whenever you look up the balance of a particular address, you won't have any collisions with any other address in the balance of mapping. So we can go over those details if people want to. But you can actually also use the Viper convention, which is extremely similar. It hashes the arguments in the same way, but only in a reverse order. But if you're using Solidity or Viper to write your contracts, this will be, of course, done for you. And as a final opinionated choice, if the allowance of a particular person with respect to some executor is the max possible uint, then transfer from should not decrease the allowance of the spender. Okay, and all submissions are due at 12:25. Let's go over the specs. Would you like?
Hey, sure, yeah. So I'll demo now the specs for you and also how the CI server works and cover in detail everything you need to know to participate. Can you see the screen?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Is the size okay? Should I make it a little bit bigger? So first, I want to show you the structure of this repo. Has everyone been able to find it, first of all? So we're looking for this repo on GitHub, so everyone hopefully has it. And I'm going to show you first just the structure of this. So we've got in here a README, a configuration file that you don't need to worry about. The most important stuff is in the source directory. Firstly we have our specs, which is the spec.md, and these are the specs that Martin was referring to. This is written as a markdown file, and it's got these specs that will be tangled out of it. You do not need to edit this because this is the part that's given to you for targeting. But you do need to read these if you want to write implementations that will actually pass to make sure that you understand all of the nuances. Hopefully not too many nuances, but there are some. Martin has already covered how these specs look, but I'll maybe just pick another one and quickly go over any other features. The idea is you want to read these, and these interface lines correspond to the familiar ERC20 interfaces, and we use the Solidity the Ethereum contract ABI for computing interface selectors from the call data, which is, I guess, assumed, but basically what that means is that if you're writing the total supply function, that means that the first 4 bytes of the call data have to be the SHA-3 of this string, so it has to be something like this. So just keep that in mind in case you were wondering how to write this. Of course, if you're writing it in Solidity or Viper, then this is not this is done for you. So I think hopefully these are pretty readable. The best way to address any difficulties would be when we get to the practical part. If you raise your hand or just say something, and we can discuss the meaning of these specs that's unclear. I hope these are pretty readable. So you can see, for example, the convention with the return values is here in this last line at the bottom. Means you return 1 when this thing is successful. So now I want to show you actually how to run this with your own implementation. So if you go back to this source directory, you'll see some other files. The most important one for you to edit is this file bin runtime, which contains the runtime bytecode of your submission. And you'll see that there's already one in here, which is the sample one that's provided. This is coming from a basic Solidity implementation, the source of which is available or not. Okay, where is it available?
It's in the repo in the main directory. So if you go up a little, this is the token. So this is like the par that you can compare yourself against in the competition. And it also assists you if you find these specs hard to read, then you can simply read the Solidity and get a handle on what's going on.
Yeah, so to be clear, this Solidity that's in the root of this Git repo passes the specs, so your thing needs to be behaviorally equivalent to this, so this is one way to check. And except for the constructor, which we will not be verifying, you don't need to worry about how this contract is deployed. You only need to worry about how the state transition once it's deployed. Right. So going back to this, what you need to do is put your bytecode into this file. So you can delete this file and then output your own bytecode into it. And I think you're actually allowed to, because as you'll see in the repo for this, in the README in this repo, here's how you do that with SolC. So you do with SolC with, you can also use SolC to output YULE, to consume Yule and how the AVM bytecode. These are the instructions for Viper, and maybe you have your own funny tools that you want to try. And actually, apparently it's allowed to have this header, but it's not necessary. So, you know, just simply having the hex in here as ASCII is fine. I don't know what else is, just how else you will output it. So now I will show you how this gets processed. This is enough for the repo structure. So what's going to happen when you submit a pull request where you've edited this bin runtime file is our CI server will automatically pick up the pull request, and it's going to run the K-Framework prover using the specs generated from the ACK language against your bytecode. Then after that execution is done, here's an example of where the CI is running. When this execution is done, if you get a successful proof, all the specs, all the reachability claims were successfully proved, it will actually do a symbolic analysis of the gas along all these execution traces, and it will calculate, as Martin said, the maximum gas consumed. And then there will be a report produced. So here, if you want to track your progress, you can go to dap.ci/erc20-golf. And here, for every pull request to this repo, there will be a hash, which is your entry. As you can see here, the last one was 1042. And if you look on the right hand side, you'll see that there are 16 specs in total, and 16 of them were accepted, meaning that this is a correct implementation that's been formally verified. And now, if you click on this link, well, you'll be able to see an overview of how everything passed, but also, very importantly, you'll see next to every passing behavior, here on the right, you'll see gas and gas analysis. So I want to show you these. So gas is a bit technical, but this is the K term that we've extracted from the symbolic execution that represents the state of the gas at the end of every execution of this function. The reason it's a bit complicated is because there's going to be branching in here, and it's going to depend on the state of the call data. But that's a little bit hard to read. But the thing that the submission will look at, or that the contest will look at, is this gas analysis. So if you click that link, you'll see that we have Can you guys see this? So basically, what this is showing is that this balance of function is actually going to consume 530 gas in every case. So this is actually a very simple example. But now, if we move on to something a little bit more complicated, like this transfer function, and we look at the gas analysis for that, it's a little bit more complicated. So here you can see the first thing is the tree, so that's actually the gas in all the cases, and you can see that it's conditional on the starting balance and the ending balance. And then we also compute the minimum and the maximum gas used, and your contest entry is going to be the maximum gas used. And we will completely ignore what happens in cases where your execution is supposed to revert. So if someone is over underflowing, or they're not approved, or something like that, we don't care how much gas it used because the user made an error, and we're not going to try to save them any gas. So you can do whatever you want in those cases, provided you revert. So I think this probably gives you everything you need to get started. So we encourage you to get started as soon as possible because it will take it'll take about 15 to 20 minutes for these executions to run in the CI. We can run a few in parallel, of course, but to increase the chances that your submission executes by the end of the workshop, please submit it as soon as possible, and don't worry about getting the absolutely best implementation you can, because I think simply getting something that makes some improvements over Solidity will already give you a good shot. The goal is to have fun and learn something, and of course we can continue playing for the next couple of weeks or months if you want to continue to get it down. So just to make this workflow completely clear what you need to do, I'm going to just quickly make a submission to this thing to show you. So here I'm in the ERC20 Golf repo, and let's say I want to make an optimization to the bytecode. And in particular, I'm going to use a tool. It's very nice, called SED, which stands for Solidity Enhanced Deployment. And what's really nice about it is it actually comes with most Unix systems. And Solidity actually uses this to implement its compiler optimizations. In fact, most of the compilers implemented this was the state-of-the-art way to work with optimized bytecode. And I'm going to apply a trick. The syntax is a little bit arcane, but this is a really powerful tool. So, for example, if you do a push zero in the EVM, what that does is it puts zero on the stack, and that costs you 3 gas. But in this particular case, because we're in this non-payable regime where you're not supposed to send any value, and otherwise it's going to revert, we actually know that most of the time the call value is going to be zero, but the call value opcode only costs 2 gas. So we can actually, every time we need to push zero, which would be quite a few times because that's quite a useful number to have, we can actually replace every occurrence of push zero with the call value opcode, which I'm going to look up here in my little cheat sheet is actually 34 in hex. So if we do this to the bytecode, that should actually implement this one of the pretty sophisticated compiler optimization. So now you'll see that we've actually changed the bytecode in some way, and I can actually I'm actually going to commit this and make a pull request. So now you just go up here. Now, of course, you'll make a pull request on your own fork or whatever. This go through. So once I click create pull request here, it's going to get hopefully picked up by the CI straight away, and then we can start verifying and see how much gas we saved from implementing this Solidity enhanced deployment optimization. Great, it's already running. And if I go to this website, which again is dap.ci/erc20-golf, which is a nice dashboard for viewing these builds, you'll see that there's a new one. There's a new one at the top. You can see it says running 16, so none of them have been accepted yet. It's going to take a little while. Formal verification is expensive and slow, and then you'll see these gas analyses coming in as these proofs happen in the next 2 minutes. Probably the first one will come in and they'll start coming in, so you can see how you're doing, and hopefully it'll take around 15 minutes to complete all of them, and then this will be the first submission, and I challenge you to see if you can beat this one using any tools of your choice. Even an easy way place to start is to apply some of these manual kinds of bytecode optimizations. You can also try running SOLC with the optimized flag, because the included submission was not compiled with that, so that should already give you some pretty good savings. And then, of course, writing it in raw EVM or UML or whatever you like will probably give you even more. So I think that's it, and I think it's good time to start working. And please. Since this is a workshop, the idea is you're supposed to ask questions, and we might help you understand the spec language or this tooling. So please don't hesitate to engage with us and your neighbors.
Are there any immediate questions? Yes.
Is there an assumption that you're starting gas at the time the function starts, or is it like dispatch or all that?
The dispatch and all that is included. None of the deployment is included, so the length of the bytecode doesn't matter, but everything that happens from PC counter 1 until a return is accounted for.
And you've got to assume that any value will be valid storage value. Or
Yeah, so exactly, like storage could be anything. But I mean, the storage locations that you'll likely be working with are the ones that come from the mapping of balances and allowances. So, yeah.
Sorry, there's one really important thing that I missed, which is to do with the storage thing. Thanks for bringing that up. So, I mean, one of the ways that in general you can try to optimize storage is by like packing things together to try to use less storage or something like that. Now, regardless of whether that would be a good idea for an ES20 token, that isn't really compatible with our approach here, because what we're formally verifying actually needs to specify exactly where the storage lives, firstly, and secondly, the semantics of your contract actually change if you start to reduce the size of the integers that you're using, because you'll start to overflow in situations where you otherwise wouldn't have. So that's not really going to work, and in particular, you actually need to look at one more file in this repo, potentially, depending on how crazy your approach is, which is the storage.md. So this is the storage specification. And if you're just using Solidity to Viper, then all you need to do is follow the order of the storage layout that we gave as an example, which is balances, total supply, and allowances. So as long as the variables are declared in that order, they'll be put in the right places. But formally, what's actually going on, and if you're using a more low-level approach, then it's actually mapped out in this file. So, I mean, I hope that if you're going to do something like this, then you already know how Solidity places its variables. Otherwise, it's going to be a few things to learn. But you know, for simple variables that aren't mappings, like the total supply, they're just going into the slot number that corresponds to starting from zero, the order that the variable is declared. So total supply, for example, it lives in slot one. So you know, if you want to store the total supply, you just do s store one and the supply. While mappings like balances and then 2D mappings like allowances are a bit more complicated. They're computed using hashes, and there's actually two different conventions, as Martin said. There's Solidity and Viper, and they hash things in the opposite order. And by default, this file is going to be configured to use a Solidity order. So this is why it says Solidity here. And if I wanted to use Viper instead, what I would do is you need to actually replace this with Viper, and then we're going to hash things in the opposite order. Now, for the details of how it's actually hashed, I think the best thing would be that if you're interested in experimenting with this, is that you raise your hand and one of us will come and show you to make sure that it's correct. Just because maybe if most people aren't interested in that, it's not worth spending 5 minutes explaining it right now. Allowances, like, yeah, I think the easiest way to remember is source destination, so owner and spender is also correct. Yeah. Okay, so then let's get started, and if you have a question, please raise your hand or just say something. One interesting piece of information. So this one that I tried with sed to replace 6000 with 34, it actually corrupted something, and the formal verification just came back negative. Very bad results. Don't try this one. You will be wasting your time. So this is I would say this is a success for. Formal verification, maybe a bad day said.
Did all of them fail, or?
No, actually just one. Well, the way we set it up is the first failure causes it all to stop, so not to waste time. So it looks like the transfer from function failed. So
nothing passed before that.
Nothing actually passed before that. Failed pretty quickly. Again, if that's your kind of, if that's your cup of tea, you know, another thing interesting to investigate would be to figure out why this optimization is unsafe, maybe how to make it safe.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
Yeah, Of course. would be the first one. Yeah, I guess it's right here. I can merge it.